This is Cliff Mass, and welcome to my weather podcast. Each week, I talk about current weather, provide a forecast for the weekend and beyond, and give you more details about an interesting weather phenomenon. Well, welcome to my podcast. It's May 18th, Saturday, and it's a day that's not great here in Puget Sound. We have a Puget Sound convergence zone. The showers were pretty heavy for a while. Temperatures are way below normal. We're only going to get up to the mid-50s today. We should be 10 degrees warmer. There's also showers in the mountains, so the hiking is probably on the wet side as well. So not the greatest day. As in most convergence zones, it's generally sunnier to the north and south. So go south of the city or go Everett northward. It's much, much better. But a cool day. Now, Sunday is going to be a definite improvement. This frontal system and the convergence zone are going to be moving out, and temperatures will get up probably into the mid-60s here in western Washington, 63, 64 in Seattle. Partly cloudy, not a bad day. You can do something outside tomorrow, even some hiking in the mountains. The ground might be a little bit wet, but I think it'll be tolerable. A Monday will be even better. Partly cloudy again, highs getting to 67, something like that, 68. That's close to normal. But then on Tuesday, a strong frontal system is moving in. Temperatures will drop back to the mid-50s, and there'll be rain. I mean, we're talking about a wedding rain, both in the lowlands and up in the mountains. Excuse me. And then Wednesday morning, the stuff starts moving out, showers in the morning, temperatures getting up to the upper 50s, and Thursday will be the first day again. That's near normal, highs in the mid-60s, partly cloudy, probably not too much rain. Startlingly, another front comes in on Friday, temperatures will drop back with showers. So, you know, we are not in a warm period. We should get to 66, 67 around Seattle this time of the year, and most days will not do that. And showers will be coming in every few days. The pattern is an interesting one. We have a ridge offshore, and we have northerly flow, northwesterly flow along the coast that's bringing a train of disturbances coming down from Alaska. So every few days, one of these disturbances comes down. That causes clouds. There's a front associated with each one of them, and so we'll get some rain and showers. So that's what I'm looking for at this point. There's no hint, and I mean no hint, of any heat waves between now and the end of the month. I looked at every single one of the modeling systems, and we're talking about, you know, at least through the end of the month and probably into early June. There's no hint of any major ridge over us that causes us to warm way above normal like we saw a week ago. A question that I'm often asked is how far in the future can one forecast the weather skillfully? And that's a question whose answer has changed radically over the last 20 or 30 years. If you were back in the 1970s, for instance, which perhaps doesn't seem so long ago to some people, the ability to forecast really faded out after about 3 days. So 72 hours was about all you had. And that ability to forecast was really limited to large-scale weather patterns, you know, major fronts, major cyclones, things like that. We could not forecast details of local weather when you went back that far because our computer models were too coarse. They didn't have the resolution to define the local weather features, like the Puget Sound convergence zone, for instance, or the effects of the terrain on precipitation on the Woodward slopes. So we could forecast the large-scale patterns with some skill 72 hours ahead, but our ability to do local prediction was really not very good. Everything changed during the 90s, late 80s, 90s, and into the early part of this century. What changed? Well, the first thing is that we started gaining weather observations everywhere. If you were back in the 70s, you know, we had some observations over the ocean, but not very many. We had some ship reports, a few buoys, but really it was very sparse, a few island stations. But everything changed as we got into the 80s and 90s, and that was weather satellites. We started getting a constellation of weather satellites that allowed us to see the weather everywhere. These weather satellites are very powerful. We can not only see where the clouds are, we can actually measure temperature and humidity with height. We can track clouds. We can do all kinds of things. So where there were data voids all over the planet, they went away. I laugh sometimes when some people tell me that they can't forecast in Seattle because we don't have any observations over the Pacific. Well, that's not true anymore. We have massive observations over the Pacific. So what has happened is we've gained observations everywhere in three dimensions. And it's not only satellites. Some of the commercial planes are taking observations as well. And we have additional buoys, a lot more data. So we could describe what's going on. The second thing was improvements in our numerical weather prediction technology. And that was driven by two things. One, much, much faster computers. The computer power, as everyone knows, has gone up exponentially over the last 40 years. And that allows us to run our models at higher resolution for longer, to include more physics in them, things like description of clouds and radiation. So better computer models, higher resolution, better physics in these models. And we also gained a lot of knowledge during the 60s, 70s, and 80s, a lot of research on how the meteorology works, how do clouds work, and how does the air move in the boundary layer, the lower part of the atmosphere. So we had all these observations that described the three-dimensional atmosphere. We had these better models driven by better knowledge and better computers. And as a result, two things happened. Our ability to forecast the large-scale atmosphere, the planetary atmosphere, increased dramatically in the late 80s, 90s, and early part of the century. It was startling. Where before we could forecast 3 days, today we have tremendous skill out 7 days, 8 days, even some skill beyond that. So we've over doubled the horizon in which we can describe the large scale circulation of the atmosphere, the major troughs, the major ridges, the major fronts. We got that now. But just as important is the fact that with all this computer power, we could run our computers at much higher resolution. And so that means we could actually predict local weather. We're talking about the Puget Sound Convergence Zone, the precipitation on the Cascades, or more recently, there was the tremendous achievement of forecasting the strong winds that were associated with the terrible fire on Maui last August. The models nailed that. And that's true almost every major wind situation that has produced wildfires. We're forecasting it days ahead of time. So what I'm telling you is that there's been a dramatic improvement of weather prediction. We can now predict with great skill out a week ahead of time, occasionally higher, but at least a week ahead of time, and we can forecast detailed weather, the local weather, certainly 3 to 4 days ahead of time with tremendous skill. This is a game changer. Now, of course, your next question is, what's the limit here? Well, there's been some theoretical work, and now some that was done back in the 60s to try to understand what's the maximum amount of time we can forecast. And that is, in some sense, limited by the uncertainty of how we describe the atmosphere and the uncertainty of the processes. We never can understand exactly what's going on. We can never describe the atmosphere perfectly. And so those small errors in that initial description grow over time. And so it goes up, and the errors increase. This is called chaos or chaos theory. And right now, it appears that we cannot forecast the weather no matter what, more than about 2 weeks ahead of time. And when I say forecast the weather, I mean talk about the low is going to be there, the high is going to be there, the temperature is going to be 63 on that day. You know what I mean. More than 2 weeks ahead, it's probably impossible. But that doesn't mean we can't do anything useful. We may not be able to forecast the details of the weather, but I think we may be able to forecast generalities. It'll be warmer or colder than normal over this three-day period, something like that. I think that's still possible. But we cannot forecast the specific details. Going much further in time, the only thing that we have that has any skill for forecasting is the connection between El Niño and La Niña and seasonal weather. So when we know there's an El Niño coming on, we think the winter will be warmer than normal here in the Northwest. La Niña coming on, which is happening right now, cool and normal winter. That's very broad, but there is some skill to it. Anyway, I hope you enjoy learning a little bit about forecasting skill and the fact that it's improved dramatically. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Feel free to send me your questions or any topics you would like me to cover. This podcast will be available every Friday morning on my blog and major podcast platforms. If you would like to support this podcast, feel free to use the Patreon link on my blog. See you next time.